Let's stand for prayer. Father, we bow here in your presence this morning. We thank you for your love to us, your working in our lives for the redemption in Christ Jesus. Lord, that the middle wall of partition hasn't broken down, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that your desire is that we be one, that we work together in love and harmony. Father, as ministers, who are to be an example of that to our flocks. And Father, I just pray that you help me to, my humanity, my needs would not hinder what you want to, how you want to speak to us this morning. We just commit this time to you. Pray for your Holy Spirit, for your unction, for your blessing upon our time here. Thank you for each brother. Thank you for each ministry team that's represented. Father, and Lord, help us, Father, for your people deserve to be led well. Father, just bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you seated? Think of this, what Jesus told Peter there after Jesus' death there. Remember what he said to him three times? What did he say? Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. I think it also has the idea of, and look, God is jealous. That we see a little glimpse into the heart of God there, that his flock would be well taken care of, and that responsibility rests upon us. So I don't feel qualified to share on this subject here that was given to me, building trust in the ministry, but it is something I have a burden for. I believe God is a tremendous burden for it as well. Our ministry teams are under fire. We are a strategic place as a ministry team, as a servant body, for the enemy to attack, and he does. The front lines get hit the hardest. The enemy knows if he can get a wedge into the ministry, he gets a lot. There are big implications to a church when the ministry is not together. We can all tell sad stories. sad stories. You know, we think doctrine is important. It is important. We think technology is a threat. It is a threat. We think we need to be very careful about the influence that our young people face in our churches, their things are exposed to, their friends. And it's huge, it's big. But if we're not able to work together as a team, I believe that has more potential for ruin than all those other things do. When you're together, you can weather a lot. But when you're not together, even little things can become a real challenge to work through. And if we're not together, it's going to be impossible to have a unified congregation. We, the shepherds, the ones who are supposed to tend the lambs, tend the flock, if we're not together, sadly, we're the ones that are going to bring division into the flock. They'll have to choose sides. They'll have to choose to go with him or with you. And there's, you know, potentially can bring division to the flock. Let's give our brothers an example of working together. Let's not ask them to do something that we can't do. When trust is lost, there's so much loss. In Proverbs 18:19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. We've all seen that. When trust is lost, broken down, suspicion comes in, and, you know, it's so hard to rebuild that. So hard to rebuild that. We've all seen it. You could tell stories. I could tell stories when that happens. And this is the chasm that comes in. Thinking back to, think about, war, carnal war. How to go in war.
English, but it's quite a better word, your fellow soldier. If you didn't trust him, you're always, you weren't sure if he really had your back, and you were always looking over your shoulder to make sure that he was with you still. He just wasn't trusted. How would it go? You wouldn't be an effective team. You wonder if he's actually for you or against you. How effective would you be if you didn't have a solid confidence that your fellow soldier was in step with you, and you could trust your life with him? How would it go in war? It would not go. I was pondering yesterday about Jonathan. May God help us to be Jonathans. What was it about Jonathan that built the loyalties that he had with people? You think about David there. Just their souls were just knit together. You think about the commitment that his armor bearer had with him. There was just a loyalty there, a trust there that Jonathan said, "Will you help me climb up this cliff, and we'll go up there, just the two of us, and just go right into the enemy's camp." He says, "I'm with you. I'm with you." Well, what was it about Jonathan that just won such loyalty with people? I was pondering that. Maybe you have some ideas. And I want to open it up with for comments from you. So think about it here as we go along. Things that you think of that build trust or erode trust in ministry. So if you have a thought, I want to get an opportunity to share that here after a while. Jonathan's armor bearer and David and Jonathan have a fierce loyalty and trust in each other. Well, as I was pondering that, I'm not sure what you think of with Jonathan there, but I thought of humility and kindness. I wonder if those were two things about Jonathan that caused there to be such loyalty with people. Though he was the son of a king, he didn't let that get to his head. He was a loving, kind person. There in 1 Samuel 18, there after David had killed Goliath, it says, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." So here's a prince. A lot of people have been threatened by that, right? Here is some stripling, some shepherd boy that comes in here, and now he's getting real famous. I'm the prince. I should be the one getting honor. He was humble, and he just lavishly gave David that one trust, that one friendship, he gifted David with all those things, and in a sense made David higher than himself. He was a prince. He could have felt threatened. The carnal person could have felt threatened to do that, maintain their position, defend themselves. He stripped himself of his robe, and basically making David the prince. And all through that time of David being chased by his father, he was loyal to David. David had someone back there in the palace that he could trust. He never questioned whether Jonathan was would turn against him. There was deep soul trust there. Though Jonathan was the son of his enemy. And Jonathan, he didn't feel threatened. He even said, I'll read it here. Maybe you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 23. First Samuel 23, verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in this wilderness in Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood. He went and sought him out and strengthened his hand in God. What a friend. What a loyal loyal companion. We're in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. And verse 17, he said to him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee." When you're out there like that, I think maybe, sooner or later he'll probably get me. That Jonathan must have said, "David, God will take care of you." He strengthened his hand in God. probably a very low time in his life. And look what he says here. Fear not, for the hand of my father Saul shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. He should have had that place, right? But he was willing to let David have it. David, you will be king. I'm happy. I'm happy for you to take my place. He didn't feel threatened. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And the two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. And Jonathan didn't feel threatened. And he stuck with David all through the time. You remember the story here about with his bow and arrows and the sign that was? You know, he just reporting back to David, you know, what's going on, and keeping in tune with what's going on there. And being a faithful, loyal friend whom David could trust all through that very, very low, dark time. So he was humble and he was kind. Those two things go a long ways, I believe, in building trust. Those two, Saul and Jonathan, Jonathan and David, humanly speaking, they should have been fierce enemies. You know, Jonathan could have very rightly felt so threatened. Here's this young upstart, my rival, and I'm going to have it out with him. He's going to take my place. No, he's not. Naturally speaking, they should have been the worst enemies. But they weren't. They were loyal, heart to heart, deep, committed friends who had a fierce trust in each other. So just some thoughts here. These are not in order things I thought of. Isaac and I discussed some of these things. These things, I think, build trust. I just want to have that backdrop there of David and Jonathan there. The trust they had. So my thoughts here. Again, we are a target of the enemy, right? Remember that? If the enemy can get into us and our teams, there's a trickle-down effect, and it's very difficult, it's virtually impossible to have a unified congregation if we're not together as a team. And again, we're the target of the enemy, and he wants to divide us. So my first one out here is thoughts. Thoughts. Our thoughts about our fellow minister is very important. It might seem silly, but I don't think it is. We need to learn to control our thoughts out of the heart. As to keep your heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. The thoughts you let mingle there in your mind are important. I believe the enemy will put wrong thoughts and wrong feelings in our minds about our fellow minister. These little hurts, the little offenses that pop up, what you do with those things are very, very important. I believe we need to fight against these thoughts the same way we fight against lustful thoughts. Throw them out. Deal with them. Replace them with good thoughts. And replace them with good actions and good words. These little offenses, these little hurts, these little petty things that bug you, deal with them. They're not little petty things. They have the potential to begin to bring schisms. And resist them, throw them out, and replace them with good thoughts and words. Instead of those things, purposefully give blessings. Purposefully give affirmation. Bless your fellow minister. Thank him for the good job he did there. Overcome. He said, to be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I believe just taking some steps, doing some things, saying some words helps overcome these things that the enemy wants to throw in there to begin to erode trust. With that, I think we need to be very careful about what we say to other people about our fellow minister. Very, very careful. Is it always wrong to talk about things you're facing? I don't think it is. I think we should be very, very careful. If that comes out back around the wrong way, it erodes trust, brother. It's dangerous. It's harmful. And pray pray together and pray regularly for your relationship. It's so important. It's just like your marriage with your wife is so important. It's like your children. Your relationship as a ministry is so important for the welfare of your flock. Pray about the relationship your relationship together. So, yes, overcome those things with good words, good thoughts, and good actions. Overcome evil with good. And deal with it with lustful thoughts. And the second one I have here is vulnerability. Humility and vulnerability go together. Talks about how Jonathan was a humble man. Humility. You know, I believe you want to really build trust in your ministry fast. You know, if it's strained, you know, I can't build it fast. But I think one of the biggest things you can do to build trust in your ministry is to be vulnerable. You know, you can have a lot of ideas of maybe what's going on in your fellow minister's mind. You know, maybe you're struggling to build this here. But then if he just kind of opens his life up and says, you know, here's what I've been facing. You know, I've been struggling with this. Pray for me. He just, the walls come down. You know, wow, he's facing that. I was thinking this, but you know, now I see his heart. When you open that heart, when you expose your need, what you're going through, then there's trust just gets built. Trust gets built, and suspicions go away. And you see the person for who they really are. We can't trust someone who's proud. Someone who's proud, you know, it's about themselves, and you don't feel safe in a proud person. A proud person is not able to be vulnerable. So expose your needs and weaknesses to one another. Make confessions with each other. Share failure you've experienced. Stretch forth your hand. Those things go so far in building trust. It's super healthy for your relationship. Last week, Isaac did that with me. And I do it with him. And, he faced a little thing their place that as we preached that morning, he just shared, you know, that's what I'm facing this morning. You know, just pray for me. And, you know, those things are something healthy. It just, it builds trust. It helps us to see that the person is real. And, you know, they don't get it all right. And they also have failures. And it's so important and healthy. Along with that, I think we can go a step further. And I think it's healthy for us in our marriages. You know, really, honestly, what works in marriages, you're all married, right? What works, you know, what works in marriage really works well, too, for the most part, in ministry teams. So you can do this in your marriage, you can do this in your team. Open yourselves up. Do you have any concerns about me? Am I doing anything that bothers you? Have I hurt you recently? Do you have any input from my life? Any flat spots you see? Give me something to work on. Those things are very, very healthy. It makes yourself vulnerable, right? But it's so healthy. We need that, right? Do any of us have it all together? We know we don't, but it's hard to do that. If it comes, thank Him for it. Thank Him for it, and don't explain it away. Don't justify yourself. Don't explain it. Just thank Him for being honest. That's what I have here is be honest and candid. You know, being able to be real about the things we differ in helps build trust. Because you know that if there is a problem, it's safe to bring it up. You know, my father was that way. There was someone I was talking to about my father, and he said, "I really liked your dad was... he'd tell you what he thought." You know, he was always most tactful. He had some struggles in relationships. There's a wrong way to do that. But if we're all able to be honest about what, you know, if there is a struggle, to go to put it on the table, it's healthy. You know, it clears the air. You know that if there is issues, we can talk about the issues. You know, not having a laundry list. You know, what we tend to do is we tend to not talk about the things, and then something else stacks up, something else stacks up, and something else stacks up, and then whoosh, it all comes out at one time, and it almost blows the person off their feet. And then you know what happened there? You destroyed trust instead of building trust. And now it's not safe to bring something up. Now there's tension there. So the importance of how things are brought up is very, very important. I struggle with this. I'm working on this with my own marriage. I have a hard time bringing things up that I struggle with without hurting my wife. I'm trying to work on that. So don't attack the other. You know, there's a way to be honest, but to be kind. There's a way to be direct, but still value the person. There's a way to talk about a need without attacking the person and making the person feel like a failure. So talk about things, but be kind in how you do it and value the other person and do it gently. Next one I have here is be able to take criticism. It's kind of the other side of this one. If we can't take criticism, we're going to destroy trust. If you have to be right, if you have to justify yourself, if you have to defend yourself, if you have to explain it all away, you destroy trust. Or if you feel like a failure, you know, we can tend to do if someone comes and points out this need in my life, you should have done this differently. And I can beat myself down and feel like a failure, feel like I'm just that's not what they're saying. They're saying there's this area here that you can work on. Thank him for it. We can tend to be so insecure or so threatened. And if we don't get it all right, we can feel like we're a failure. It's not the case. Be able to take criticism. Recognize you don't have it all together, and you need your brother to help you see your flat spots. So if criticism comes, be thankful for it. Seek to be thankful for it and not react to it. Because if you do that, you close it off. Now you give the message that don't ever do it again. And now the relationship's not clear between you and your brother because you just defend yourself. They shouldn't have pointed that out. That you're right, they're wrong, and it puts up a wall. So if someone mentions a fault to you, thank them for having the courage to do so, and seek to understand and try to see it, and welcome that. Now what I have here is function as a team, not being independent. I think all of us here are part of a team, right? None of us here are the only minister. The other goal is to have plurality. And so to be able to function as a team and not to just do things on your own, but to work along with them before launching something new, refer back to your team. Getting advice from the others builds trust. Leonard was very good at that. I'm sure he still is, but I'm not in the ministry with him the same congregation anymore, but there for a time he was the elder, lead elder, I was a deacon, and there was different times I thought, why is he asking me that? You know, he's the elder, he can just lead out and that. But he wanted to be together. I value that now. He wanted to make sure that he wasn't being independent. And there was multiple times he called me about something that I didn't feel like he would have to. But he put forth specific area effort to function together as a team and to be together on what we are doing. Not surprising to others. Keeping each other up to date with what you're doing and how it's going. Getting advice and input from them. Whether it's important to have regular ministers' meetings. Does help build trust. It keeps us current with each other and maintains trust. Getting practical advice from each other. Even about practical things in life. Isaac's good at this. Before making big purchases, he'll call me up. You know, what do you think? I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think about that? He doesn't want to do something that would be a struggle to others. Those are healthy things. Getting advice from each other. Consistency and dependability build trust. We should be steady and stable. Our teams should know what to expect and should not be surprised. I like what what Rollins said. We should keep surprises for birthday parties, he said. We should keep surprises for birthday parties, not for the ministry team. Unless it's their birthday and you want to bless them with something. Then what I have here is hearing each other. Hearing, caring, and valuing each other are so important. Everyone deserves to be heard and should be thanked for sharing the perspective. You know, often when the few times I've helped with relationship difficulties and whatever bracket it is, often people don't feel heard. And honestly, you know, if they can honestly feel heard, feel like their perspective was really considered and understood, it goes so far in resolving things. Everyone deserves to be heard and should be thanked for their perspective. Seek to really understand. Another one here is, I have here is friendship and laughter. I think it was healthy, but there was times we used to have our ministry meetings in the butcher shop loft up there. It's a larger, kind of long room there. And we would have our meetings up there, and there were times that I wondered, you know, if somebody's downstairs, I wonder what they think about this bunch up here. and I'm sure it can go too far, but I think a lot of that was healthy. If our meetings are always awkward and tense, something's not good. And even the ability to laugh about what used to be sore spots. You know, think back to some of those things that we worked through, and we'll laugh about it. You know, we'll banter each other about it a little bit. Some of that still happens, and I think that's healthy. To be able to let your hair down. I think if some of our riding together late at night home from meetings, you know, we get a little sillier sometimes, we get tired. And some of the stuff we talked and joked about may not have been the best, but I think some of that's actually healthy. To be able to have some of those times, you know, where you're real, where the stress is gone, where you're just friends, and where you can kind of be a little childish. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I think some of that's good. another one here, I'm about done here. Be friends. Be friends. Have a genuine love for each other. Care. Interest. You know, be there for each other when they go through low times. You know, if there's a hospital situation or those things, or I think we should also be tuned in to the load the other's carrying. How have you been doing? How have you been holding up, brother? So you have to make your load lighter. You know, Isaac does that. Safety in the stress level. How's your family been? How are things in your marriage? You know, where there's genuine care and interest. I'm going to back up to the previous one. I just see it in my notes here. Our times together should not normally be tense and awkward. You know, there's going to be times where it's a heavier meeting. You know, there are going to be those times. That we should expect those times. But our times together should not normally be tense and awkward. We should be able to just be together and be free. So jumping again, being good, I want to have a little being friends. Doing things to bless the other, gestures of kindness. Become a David and Jonathan together. So here's a few more random thoughts here in closing here. And have your thoughts ready if you have some suggestions of things you think of. This is not by any means exhaustive, but just some thoughts I had here on this topic. Forgiveness is important. Our fellow minister is a human. He's not going to get it all right. You have to practice forgiveness. You have to accept each other's humanity and failures. I'm a human, and he's a human. And we have lots of humanity. I don't know a lot about it, but I read a little bit about C.T. Studd. I don't know how many of you know of C.T. Studd. He was a missionary back in the day. A very zealous, radical, rough person that got a lot done. But he had a lot of flat spots. Hurt a lot of people. And almost burnt the ministry down because of his coarseness. But my understanding is his son-in-law, I forget his name. Anyone know his name? Grubbs. Over Grubbs, I think it was son-in-law. His son-in-law basically patched up behind him and kept things from flying apart. Well, and we did fly apart. He kind of, after his father-in-law, his death, he patched back up and kept the mission going. But, you know, C.T. Studd was a rough fella. But Norman Groves, I think his name was, provided some oil in the gears. And if it hadn't been for him, we would have, you know, fell on the ball of flames pretty much, I believe. So your fellow man is a human. Maybe you can be some oil in the gears. Talk about insecurities and feeling threatened. Those things provide strain to our ministry teams. A proper level of self-doubt is healthy. A proper level of self-doubt is healthy. We can be too insecure, but a proper level is good. And we need to be able to value some else's input, you know, I mean, I see it all right. And, you know, what do you think about this? Help me out, brother. Help me work through this. Valuing others' gifts and strengths. And also here, get help if you need it. Get help if you need it. If you're not able to resolve things, get help. You might need some help someday. You know, I tremble to talk about some of these things because I've learned enough. I've talked about marriage. I preached just a few weeks ago, this last week on marriage. And I said a lot of good things. I know a lot of good things. But this very week, I struggled with some of the very things I talked about in my marriage. I struggled with those things. You know, we know it. But it's hard to practice it when it catches us off guard. And I don't know how to say that, but communicate that. But my theory is when it hits you broadside, you're not ready for it, it's hard to actually respond in the right way. You can see so clearly how that if he would just get his act together, you know, this would flow. But I'm the person that can change the best, right? Then I'm the person that God's given me the ability to change. And if I can do if I can respond right to those things, I can actually make the most progress there by working on this fellow. Let's be a humble, loving Jonathan. Nothing to defend, but having loving care and interest for the other will go a long way in building trust. Again, how can we expect the church to be together and flow together as a ministry team? For the sake of Christ and his church, let's get along. Let's get along. So maybe you have some thoughts. You have some thoughts on things that build trust. So maybe things that erode trust in a ministry. Was there a hand here? Okay, you were just okay. Adner? Y'all hear back there? Out a little more for us. It's good. Thank you for that. Position. That's good. Was your hand over here? On the what? Kingdom. Okay. I'm out of this position. Feel threatened by that. You know, I think Saul was afraid of the next king. He felt threatened by that. Yeah. That's good. Richie. I didn't think through it all, really, but I just... Say something earlier. Yeah, it was. Yeah. So what you were saying, Benji, was loyalty begets loyalty.
Trust begets trust.
That seems to be, yeah, very true.
So if we want something from a brother, let's give that.
It comes back to bless us. Anybody else have something before we wind this down?
Desire for preeminence disguises itself very well as a desire for the kingdom.
Yeah.
We think that our heart can be deceived, right? We think that we're just burdened about this for the kingdom, but yet
often very blind to our own problems. That's why we need our brothers to help us see them. You think we give it out of there? Thank you all for helping to build this out a little more. Should I just leave this mic up here? Yes.